Praise the Lord. Welcome to this moment once again in the presence of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in your presence. Thank you for another opportunity to hear from you. Lord, as we take this word, we ask that you will use it to bless our lives and do something spectacular and cause a turnaround in our lives. Father, we give you praise. Give you, Lord, honor, praise, and adoration. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take over even as we hear from the Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Once again, you are welcome. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are going to be talking about what the Lord says. What the Lord says in the book of Luke chapter 11 concerning prayer. Concerning prayer. In that chapter, you will see the Lord trying to, emphasizing really on importunity in prayer. Importunity in prayer. And here for today, we'll be discussing about it. But you know, we have talked about importunity to some extent before. However, although we'll be talking about it today again, but our focus will not be majorly on that importunity. We will only be looking at some of the issues arising, some matters that arise from that parable that Jesus gave about prayer. So let's read from that passage of scripture. Let's read from that passage of scripture. And that is the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. If you read verse 1 down to verse 4, you will see how he talked about the Lord's Prayer. But in verse 5, he said, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." Verse 8 says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Hallelujah. God, grant us understanding from this passage of scripture that I read. Now, as I said, there are issues that the Lord brought up from this passage of scripture. After he spoke about the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, from the first four verses, he went ahead and he says, which of you, having a friend, that will come to him at midnight to ask him of bread? And you know, the midnight is the time that ushers in the next day. Anything that happens at midnight happens in between, let's say, in at the time of crossing over to the next day. So it's a crossover moment. It's a moment of crossing over. Just night before this night that we just woke up now, we had what is called crossover night that usher us into the year 2022. In between 11:59 p.m. and 12 midnight, it becomes very critical, very significant for everybody. There is high expectation that whatever happened between that 11:59 and 12 midnight, it is something that have happened between 2021 and then 2022. Anything that ended in at 11:59, that was done at 11:59, happened to be done in the old year of 2021. But once it is done, anything from 12 midnight, it happens to be done in the new year, which is 2022. Now, let me say this. The midnight, as I said, is the moment of crossing over to another morning. And I want to say to you, you cross over to your morning. Your morning of joy. Your morning of accomplishments. Your morning of peace. Your morning of divine revelation, divine purpose accomplishments. Your morning of destiny fulfillment. You will cross over in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said the friend came in the midnight. Very inconveniencing period for everybody. But very important, as it ushers in a new morning and a new beginning. Let me prophetically say to you this moment that a moment of new beginning has come for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you also that your moment of prayers, your moment of serious agonizing in the presence of God is the moment of ushering you into the dawn of the day. There's a song that says, the dawning of the new of a new day. The dawning of a new day. It has come. The dawning of a new day. I've heard it before. The dawning of a new day. And I want to say to you that as you pray in this year, as you pray this year, and you pray with importunity this year, you'll be ushered into your morning. You might have been crying before now, but the moment of your being ushered into your morning of joy has come in the name of Jesus Christ. The midnight. Although the midnight is a very inconveniencing period, but that is a strategic period. Nobody we naturally want to wake up in the at midnight and begin to do things anyhow. No. It is not naturally convenience, but divinely, it is a moment of turning away your inconvenience to a moment of convenience for your future. Now, let's go to some matters. As I said, I may not be focusing much on the prayer, on the importunity of prayer, but some issues that the Lord brought up here. But I'm still saying to you, may you arrive this year as the year of importunity in prayer. And God will help you in Jesus' name. Now, the Lord says, in that verse 5, He said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, the first thing here is that this person was going to be dealing with his friend. That God, the Lord Jesus, in this matter, likened God as a friend. He likened him not as an enemy, not as somebody somewhere, just abstract, somebody you never knew before, is a friend. A friend that is interested in your welfare, is interested in your good, is a friend. Although you are a son, you are not only a son, you are a friend. He relates with us as sons. And also as friends. Let me say to you that we are even at a better advantage than the person in this parable. The person in the parable is a friend. But to us, we are his sons, and he relates with us also like a friend. Can you see that? Let me say to you, before I move ahead, that if this man was going to rise up in the night and attend to the needs of his friend, who was just a friend, how much more will God arise to meet our needs? Because we are not only his friends, but we are sons. Now, let us go to where he says some other things. He said, you will come to him at midnight, very inconveniencing period, a time of rest. Yes. The friend has come to the point of rest, but this other friend will not allow him to rest. I pray grace to keep God at work. You know, there are men that keep God at work. He is not tired. He works and works round the clock as long as men put him to work. Let me say to you, when you go and rest, God will go and rest. Listen to this too. When you do your part and the rest that is remaining is what you cannot do now, for you to see the rest that you cannot do being done is to put God out of rest. When you put God out of rest, you will arise and do the rest that you cannot do. So, putting God out of rest will cause him to arise and do the rest for you. The Bible says, he came to him at that midnight hour. What did he say more? He said, which he shall come to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, let me 3 loaves. Now listen. What did he say? Let me 3 loaves. What Do we draw from here? The man went to his friend. Look at what he said. Lend me 2 loaves. Take note of the word. Lend. He did not say, give me 3 loaves. No. He said, lend me 3 loaves. Let me say this to you. We need to have this always at the back of our minds. That all that we go to God to seek for, He gives them, He releases them to us by lending. We should know and be conscious of the fact that God is a lender. Of course, He is the highest giver. But you know what? Actually, He's the highest lender. Remember, if you go forward, you will now see Him, Jesus, saying that although He will not rise up easily because He's His friend, He will not rise up because of His friend, but because of His opportunity, He will give him. Now, maybe you will understand more as we go back to the place where we were read. What do you say? He says, in verse 7, you will see him say, at the end of that place, say, I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8, again, towards the end, he says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him. I'm just cutting those verses so that you understand what I'm talking about. That even though he said, lend me, the response of the man inside, the friend inside, was the response of what? Give him. Jesus said, even though you will not give him, he will say, you will not want to rise and give him. Even though the friend who say, I cannot rise and give you. But because of the opportunity, what will he do? Jesus said, he will rise and give him. So the response, what the man was asking for to be lent to him was actually going to be given to him. So when the man gives him that thing, the giver, having given it out, actually has given it out as a property that has been lent out. You will have a proper perspective of whatever God has given to us in Jesus' name. Now, what are we trying to see from here? That although that thing was finally given to him as a gift, but it was actually a lending. Let me say to you that whatever God gives you, He actually have decided to do what? Lend it to you. So God's gifts are lent gifts. In other words, whatever he gives you, he lends you. So whatever you have as a gift from him is a borrowed gift. So what you call your gifts are actually borrowed gifts. What you call your anointing is borrowed anointing. What you call your money is borrowed money. What you call your intellect is borrowed intellect. What you call your material possession is borrowed possession. What you call wisdom, gifts of wisdom, knowledge, is borrowed gift of knowledge, borrowed wisdom, borrowed understanding, borrowed everywhere. We have a correct perspective of whatever God gives us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you, if all that God gives you is borrowed property, then what authority? What is the level of authority that you have over what you've gotten from God? That thing that God has given to you, what authority do you have when he needs it from you? When he says, I need this thing that I've given to you, where is your power? Where is your authority? When the real owner asks you of it. In other words, at the end of the day, you will still give an account of your gift. You will give an account of that thing that God has given you. It's a gift that is on your head. That one day you are going to give an account. That your career, what you are doing in that career, one day God has given you that career, that job, as a borrowed material. As a borrowed career. As a borrowed property, one day you will give an account. Now, what are we talking about this morning? Having a correct perspective of whatever God gives us. May God help us to handle his resources properly, so that we will not become victims of inappropriate users of his resources. May we not be wasters of his gifts. May we not be wasters of his divine resources upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. What is that thing that you are boasting about? Why, even in your calling as an apostle, as a pastor, as a teacher of the word, as an evangelist, as a prophet, listen to me. It is a borrowed office. It's a borrowed gift. They are all borrowed. One day, you are going to give an account. Lend me. Now, when this man said, lend me, what was he saying? He Philemon for a friend of mine. In my journey has come, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, this thing he wanted to get from his friend, who is now figurative of God. So this matter is a matter of three friends. The visiting friend, and the inquiring friend, and the other friend that owns the bread. That is to say, you as a child of God, you are the middle friend. God is the resource provider, is the owner of the bread, is the owner of the loaves of bread. But you are the middle friend to whom another friend has come. We'll get there, we'll get there. But what am I saying to you? As you listen to me, God has placed you as a middleman. All right. Midwifing between God and man. There is something that God has placed you to do that you have to do what? To operate in between God and man. To operate in between God and others. That you are not just in the world just to occupy position. You are in the world as a channel to channel God's resources to men's needs. What has God released upon you? He did not just release it upon you just for you. It is released upon you as a channel to other people. That thing you call my thing, my gift, my that, it is there because there is somebody that needs it, even as God channels it to you. You are expected to become a middleman. Okay? The man standing in between God and man. That is expected to transmit divine resources unto man. Unto men's needs, to meet the needs of men. What will your generation remember you for? But you see, this channeling is done when God has graciously released these resources unto you. Now, the prayer and all that it will take for you to receive these divine sources from God and transmit them to man. Oh, may that grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. you know, want to rush a bit and so that you can meet up with this to the end of that passage of scripture. So some things I may not be too emphatic. But what am I saying to you? So the inquirer was inquiring to become a channel to the other friends. So you are the inquiring friend. You are the middleman. And let me say this to you. As a middleman, for you to be a genuinely middleman that don't meddle with what can negatively affect your position as a middleman. There are things that the source whom you are bridging onto the world, onto man, will never tolerate. Those things that will insulate you from having real contact, interaction with the source, don't meddle with them. So, as a middleman between men and God, don't meddle with what God can never intermeddle with. So, don't insulate yourself from divine resources. Don't engage in things that will cause your position to, as a middleman, to be frustrated, cutting you off from divine resources in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a channel. Child of God, as a channel, keep yourself. Keep yourself clear to be able to release fresh resources from heaven. Child of God and man of God, what is God saying at this point in time? Let your channel, let your life as a channel remain clear and clean for divine resources to flow from you to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, it shall be your portion. Now the Bible says, a friend of man is in what? Say this. I mean, let's see this. Is in his journey. The friend that came to this man, the Bible says, Jesus said, that friend is in his own journey. So, there are people that are journeying to somewhere. But there are moments that their own contact, interaction with you, will keep them going. Hello, are you hearing me? That there are moments that God sends men to you. So it is through you, through your contact with them, that they will have what to take for them to continue their journey. Men come to meet with you, but they don't come to end up with you. They are going to somewhere too. Man of God, when you gather men around you, do you gather them
to make them what God wants them to become, to reach where God wants them to reach. Or you gather them and then you brainwash them to believe that all that you have, all that you carry, that is what they need to just stay with. Gather them for them to move even beyond where you are. That is a genuine servant of God. This friend that came may not be the one that is supplying, that is go, that was going to inquire of bread, may not be going to where this other friend was going after that moment. But he has to play a key role in his life before he could move ahead. He has to take care of him over the night. I pray for you that men who meet you have met with a man in the midnight that will have what it takes to usher them into their morning of accomplishment in the name of Jesus Christ. The man that will meet you would have met a man that after they have left you, they have left to enter into their moment of accomplishment, moment of destiny, fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Don't allow men to meet you and end up in the night. Let their meeting with you usher them into their morning in the name of Jesus Christ. People who have been mourning, when they come to you, let their mourning be converted to a new dawn, a new morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, a friend of mine, a friend of mine has come in his journey. No, so life actually is a journey. Friend, your life is a journey. Of course, life is not just a matter of joining others. Even when you join people in certain places, you are on your journey. Even though you join them, you are still going to somewhere that some of them are not going. It's not just a matter of joining a place, it's a journey. It's not a matter of joining others in your career, it's a journey. Even in your career, where you are going, others may not be going there. Friend, what is your mentality in wherever you are? Do you have the mentality that, oh, I'm just among others, I'm doing everything like every other person is going? No. You are not just in the world to join others. You are in the world in a journey. You are going to your journey. The friend was in his journey. You are going to your journey. You will not fail in this your journey in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the inquiring friend said, a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Nothing. Oh, what a trouble. I pray for you that is listening to me. That men coming to you for help will not meet a man that have nothing to offer. And you that is listening to me, may you not be a kind of channel that men will come to you and you will not have anything to offer to help them up. There are people, when you get in touch with them, you come in touch with a destiny killer. May you not be a destiny killer, but a destiny provoker and a destiny promoter. May you provoke men unto your destiny. May you be a source of energy to provoke and promote men into their destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says, he's in his journey, but I have nothing to set before him. He needs to eat. He needs to eat. And before we conclude this talk, look at what he said. That friend did not tell the other friend that this my friend that has come has even asked me of anything. He didn't say so. But he saw the need of that friend and then went to his friend to inquire of what to say before him. Sensitivity over men's situation, over what you need per time in the presence of God to meet the need of others, to meet the need of what your ministry is expected to accomplish. That sensitivity, God grant you in the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you that as a channel of God's blessing, as a bridge, as a connecting rod, as a connecting point between God and man, sensitivity to what you need in order to meet men's needs. They might not have even come. But you know that if you don't have this, you will not be able to do well. To accomplish the purpose of God for your life. Oh, that sensitivity to pursue that need, the Lord grant in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, men that will meet you even this year, they will not have met disappointment. They would have met appointment. They would have met people who will be able to promote them in their assignment, but not to disappoint them in their appointment. May God help us in Jesus' name. Now, look at what it says. The Lord Jesus said, the friend says, let us read it there so that we hear it better. But I say, you see, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. What was he looking for? 3 loaves. Well, we may not be too emphatic about the 2 loaves, but I will just say some few things here, just as I'm led to say it. I'm not giving it any meaning or whatever. That I'm just led to say these things. 3 loaves. The man, this friend, the inquiring friend, did not just ask of anything anyhow. He knew what he needed. And what he needed is 3 loaves. He didn't ask of only 1 loaf. He didn't ask of 2 loaves. It's 3 loaves. And you know, it was something complete. May God help you to ask him things qualitatively and in his completeness in Jesus' name. Thank you to me. 3 loaves. And let me say this. As I said, and I'm just led to say this. May the Lord grant you 3 loaves to attend to man in these three dimensions, the physical needs, their spiritual needs, and their emotional or soulish needs. That God will grant you what it takes. That when men come over to you, handling their physical needs, God will provide for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Handling their emotional or soulish, as I may say, needs, that God will grant you. And handling their spiritual, that is physical, spiritual, emotional, that God will grant you grace for this three-dimensional capacity to meet up with the need of men. Needs of men. Three loaves. There are people that may come. Their needs may be physical. And once you are able to meet their physical needs, before you know it, their relationship with God will be enhanced. May even be through those things that they will know God. They will even get onto, some of them may even get born again because of that loaf meeting the physical needs. Or because of that loaf meeting emotional, it comes with emotional issues, troubled minds. Some of them may be some emotional issues bothering them. By the time you are able to calm them down by divine wisdom and you are able to meet up with that, their emotional needs, you see them moving over to become what God wants them to become. Some of them, it is a spiritual. Some issues, spiritual matters. Oh God, I pray at this moment, oh God, the kind of loaf that will be able to meet up, in fact, the kind of thing that will cause us to be able to do what? To meet up the needs of the society in all ramifications. Grant us in the name of Jesus Christ that what we carry will not just be something that is able to meet its a very small dimension, a very small aspect. Three loaves full. I'm just saying this as I'm led. Three loaves. Alright? Three loaves. So, may He grant us perfect provision to attend to others. He give us not only one loaf, thus narrowing and limiting our effectiveness. God, grant us. We may not be able to just to be everything anyhow, but as men come, there are things that we may not be able to, we may not have directly to give out, but what we say will lead men to get what they are looking for. The direct that we will give, we'll be able to meet their maybe physical needs, spiritual needs, or whatever. Somebody may be looking, maybe in need of money. Maybe it's just a kind of wisdom that will make him, that will give him the key to open up, to get to what he's looking for. God, three loaves, fools, grant us in Jesus' name. May He cause us to have the fullness of what we need. We need in Jesus' name. We will have what it takes to enhance others in their walk with God, in their walk for God, and in their words. Three loaves. That when men meet with us, their walk with God will be enhanced. Their walk for God will be enhanced. And their words, they will not only be people who speak. I mean, who can speak, but they have no backing work. Their works don't back up what they say. You know, now, what am I trying to say? Three laws that will help men to speak well, to have good words, to have correct words. That what they say will be enhanced. That men will learn how to say something, how to speak.
God, may God grant us understanding. Because of our time, we may not be able to expatiate on some of these things.
You know, the life of man, is known and is being built up by his work, by his works, and by his words. There are people that their words have spoiled them. And there are people that they have good words, they can speak well, but their works don't measure up with their words. I pray, when men meet with you, what it will take for them to speak for God and to speak well into their lives and to speak, to talk, to have words that will put them in the correct realm. May men meeting you help them to speak correctly. May men meeting you help them to work with God, enhance their walking with God, and men's work for God may be enhanced as they meet with you. So when somebody comes to you, by the time he's leaving you, how does he talk? How does he relate with God? What happens to his prayer life? What happens to his study of the word? What happens to the way he relates with God? What happens? What happens to the work of a man? The work of a man, how does he handle his job? How does he handle his job? How does he handle what God has put into his hands after meeting with you? May God help you to be somebody that will enhance men's work with God, men's work for God, and men's words, both for God and for themselves and for the society. In the name of Jesus Christ. No more time to emphasize on this. We have what it takes to help men relate effectively to God, to relate effectively with men, and to even relate effectively with themselves. Kilos that will help men to relate effectively with God, to relate effectively with men, and to relate effectively with themselves. Three loves. Now, I'm just late to say these few things. This moment, what are we talking about? Three loves. May God grant us more insight about these matters in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, so the Bible says, the man was inside. And the man came and began to ask him, lend me these three loaves. And what did Jesus say? In verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, this is the issue. When he got to that place to knock at the door, what is the expectation? The first challenge is the ability of the inquirer to cause the man within to rise. May God help us in Jesus' name. Of course, the man has arisen from his house. He has arisen from his own comfort. He has arisen to come and inquire. But for that inquiry to receive attention, he must cause his friend from within to arise. I pray for you. May God grant you understanding. That as you go, in order for you to receive something from God that is tangible, to be able to promote other people's destiny, to promote your destiny, to be able to cause you to become effective, to meet up with the need of others, you must arise from your comforts. First of all. And even after you have arisen from your comfort, you must do something to cause God to arise. You have not arrived by your arising. You only arrive when God has arisen after your arising. When your rising has reach a point that it can cause God to arrive, that is when you begin to arrive with what on what God has given, has intended to do through your life. Don't think you have arrived just because you have arrived. Your arising is something, but your arising should be so intense for God to arise and do something in your life. Of course, you may arise out of your comfort zone and the rest of them. But if you are not intense enough, you may not be able to cause God to arise, to meet up with his intention for your life. You need intensity to provoke God's attention, to meet up with your intention. With his intention for your life, rather. Do you hear me? Your intensity in the place of opportunity is what will cause God to arise and attend to you in order for his intention for your life to be manifested. Praise the Lord. We're about bringing this to an end. To a conclusion this morning. This moment. What are we saying this moment? That you need God's arising. He said, if the man from within, that as you get up to approach God, God is from within. You must be able to knock, to open the within. The inside. So God is everywhere, but you don't you don't have him to act everywhere. No matter how he is everywhere, he is always within. It is those that will knock into the within that can cause him to act wherever he is. I say I'm not going to talk too much about this thing. But this moment, I pray that your importunity, I've spoken about this before on that message, that your importunity will open doors of opportunities for you even this year in the name of Jesus. See, my children are in bed. I don't want to disturb my children. By the time I get up now, you'll be inconvenienced to come and attend to you. I'll be inconvenienced. But you see, even though he will not attend to him because of their relationship, because of his friend, you are, there are dimensions. God will not attend to you just because you are his son. He will attend to you based on what you do in the place of intensity and fervency. I said sometimes ago, your fervency will determine your fervor and also determine your favor with God. You will gain more flavor with God by your fervency. You flavor yourself by your fervency with God. Now I'm going to conclude now. You see, he will rise up and give him. And when he gives him this loaf of bread, where is he going back? He's going back to his house to meet his friend, to give him. You see, even though he will not do that, he will give, the friend will get up and give him what he's looking for. And then when he gives him, what is he going to do? He's going to going back to his friend. Now the issue is, when he gives him this thing, he needs to be faithful. Let me say to you, when you knock at God's door and God has opened the door for you, be faithful. So that when next you go for another thing, he will grant you faithfulness. How faithful are you? Even as a servant of God, there are things that God has begun to release unto you. How faithful are you in discharging it? Your faithfulness in discharging what he has given you today determines how he will charge you with other things. When you discharge his resources faithfully, he will give you more charge over other resources. Hallelujah. The man went, he must have gone, giving it to his friend and the friend. When the man was leaving the comfort, was leaving his house, the Bible did not even tell us that the friend did not go with him. His friend was laughing while he was busy doing the inquiry. Oh, may what it will take for you to labor on behalf of men come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. May God help you to meet with the need of others as you inquire by importunity in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. What it will take for us to bless others as channels of your blessings, grant us in Jesus' name. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen.